Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I understand people are actually listening. This is Lee Montgomery, and I've been not on the air much here because there's been a lot of other stuff to be dealing with. Oh, my headphones are going nuts here. Here we go. Ooh. Come on now. So, that was Michael Trigilio and Kevin Everson with some funny shit. That you won't hear anything in those, except maybe a low buzz. We don't give you headphones. Only I get the headphones. But I have some friends here. Danielle Kirchmar. Sorry, I'm not good at pronunciations in general. And Derek Brain. And you're not Danielle Brain, right? You're not going to take that name.
No.
It's Ellsworth and his friend.
Ellsworth.
What's up? Hey, talk to Michael and get on the schedule. See, this is how it works here. People come in, they get on the schedule. And you guys didn't even, you weren't on the schedule, were you?
No, we just walked in off the street.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. We like that. So you saw some art today.
We saw some art. We went to the drawing center and saw a show curated by Nina Khachaturian, but an artist from, a Boston-based artist was actually in it, and she was doing a project, Hannah Burr, so we wanted to see the project she was doing, which was based on observing the whole art installation process and then kind of graphing it through marks of colored tapes and colored papers, sort of, so she did sort of a direct wall drawing.
Hold on a second.
Hey, can you guys... Sorry. No problem.
So it was works on paper, drawing?
Drawing, yeah, mostly.
It was works on the wall, on the floor.
Oh, yeah?
With tape and foam and a key.
A key?
80, how many, 90?
90
different actions and or sounds or events. That, and then each one of those was correspond to a certain marking, piece of tape, piece of foam. So it all ended up in, you know,
so
little jumbles of...
Sort of like a web of lines leading to the objects or
well,
something?
Yeah,
or?
This was sort of a separate drawing installation on the wall. So sort of a
she observed
piece.
The installation of the whole show that was going on and then recorded all these things that were happening during the installation and then made
oh,
piece
wow.
based on... what was happening for a certain amount of time during the installation.
And who was it that did this piece again?
Hannah Burr.
Hannah Burr.
Hannah Burr.
And the show is called what?
What is it called?
No. We have some literature somewhere that probably has the name of the show somewhere.
But it's curated by Nina Khachaturian?
Yep, at the drawing center.
And then you also...
It's the new spring show. I'm in the library. I'm on the radio.
And Danielle actually curated something of Hannah Burr's in Boston.
Oh, really?
And she did a similar project at a business college outside of that of Boston.
Now, what's that like, curating art shows for a business college?
It's a challenge because I don't have a gallery, so I find artists whose work might tie in with the curriculum or just would be visually and intellectually stimulating for the students, and then I try and find a space that would match up with their artwork. And so for Hannah just talked to me about this project idea that she had of observing groups meeting and interacting and interactions between groups, and they do so much group work at Babson, and they're also used to being videotaped as a sort of as a way of measuring their performance. So this seemed to be a perfect way of like almost turning that on its head, because it was observing their performance and documenting it, but almost the inverse of measuring it, because everything became an abstraction. But when the students came in and saw the final piece, which was a conference room that had been transformed in this way, and so we had made a tabletop that she'd carved into and put colored markings in there and embroidered into the chairs. So, you know, again, each different mark signifies, you know, a cough or a, you know, affirmation or a, you
so
know.
It's all work of translation in her case.
It's all, yes, exactly. And so she did actually provide a key for this piece, too, but so many people, too, you know, also because they're so used to it as a means of an assessment rather than art, and justifiably so, wanted to know, well, where's my seat, or where's my... You know, she did eventually, and she, I think one person she told, because the person was so, you know, curious.
I mean, that seems like an interesting juxtaposition, just the idea of having even an art department at a business college. Like, how does that work when art is so frequently about experimentation rather than about results, necessarily?
Well, we don't really... I mean, whether we have a department, per se. There's myself.
She's the department.
There's
the
department. There's a ceramics teacher who's not really... It's not for credit, and then there's a photo faculty member. So, but I think they started this program of having an artist in residence to motivate experimentation. The school is known for entrepreneurship. That's their sort of basis. And so, of course, entrepreneurs should be innovators, essentially. And
I want to
give shout out to the man.
That would be Ellsworth and his friend.
Yeah.
So, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's very distracting here. Sometimes hard to do an interview. So,
but some business students do have a problem with the subjective nature of grading art. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you probably have a lot of objections to your grades.
A little bit. Are they sort of? Some of the students are very literal, so they sort of want to know what I want,
right,
versus the thing of pushing the, you know, engaging in the parameters that I've given them and sort of trying to, you know, stretch them and see what they can do. They sort of, you know, want to know if I want it more realistic or do I want more shapes in the piece or something like that. So that often definitely comes up. So it becomes a very interesting pedagogical discussion.
So you end up having a dialogue wherein you're speaking different languages almost.
Yeah, quite a bit of the time.
Uh-huh.
So
it's very interesting that Hannah's work being about a translation of gestures is at a business school where there is this sort of trying to negotiate between literal interpretation and a more abstracted notion of art.
And very much, and also like quantitative versus qualitative analysis and response, or, so, you know, yeah, objective and subjective, but that, absolutely.
Wow. So this is Babson Business College.
Babson College.
Babson College.
Yeah.
It's a pretty prestigious business school, actually. Uh-huh. That's pretty...
So, well, but of course, because they're teaching their business people how to do art. They're going to be smarter.
Well, that was 2005 or 2000... I think 2005, the Harvard annual, like, MBA review or something, one of their top 10 ideas for that year was, and I think it was, like, number 3, was from Daniel Pink, which was the MFA is the new MBA, which, of course, as an MFA graduate.
Wow.
Not too bad, but...
Man, we should start selling stuff.
Yeah, exactly. we got to figure out how to make these MFAs pay off.
This microphone for $200.
Yeah,
any takers?
Yeah.
So... But so you saw Hannah Burr's show because you had some relationships
to her.
Had
a connection to the
work. And then you saw some other work as well.
Yeah. We went to Michelle Gondry, Be Kind, Rewind at Deitch Project. So they've actually got something, which is interesting that it parallels to what you're doing here, the idea of, like, you know, bringing people and inviting them to create their own programming.
Right.
He's doing something where he's got several sets set up and props and lends out cameras and video, and then does also workshops and sort of set people up of, like, you can make your own film, like the movie, but you need to kind of come in, you know, also somewhat organized. They kind of set up a little bit of a structure and they give hints of, like, the apartment doorway is a great place to start or end a scene.
Sounds like a video game.
Well, you go in and first you kind of have to mull over whether this is a big corporate shill or not. Which it is in some respects, but eventually it feels a little better. I mean, it's actually, there are three different stages to it. You first take a look around, and there's all these different sets, and then you come up with a storyline, and then you go to this other project room, and you develop a storyboard, and you figure out your props and all that, and then you go and you get a camera. You have to do all your editing in camera, and you make this little film.
Uh-huh.
And then they have this other area where they're showing everybody's films. And some of them that we saw were pretty fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Just
I mean, there's
coming
there's
in off the street.
Amazingly talented people on the streets of New York,
sure.
As we are finding out all the time here.
Well, we saw. Yeah, there was a mute one. One of them was had these like musical interludes. It sort of made me think of Magnolia or something, like a low budget Magnolia. You know,
yeah.
Where guy was kind of coming
in. More like
the
there's something about Mary with Jonathan Richman.
Magnolia as done with Jonathan Richman instead
yeah.
of what's
yeah.
her name?
Amy Mann.
There
that's the one.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds kind of sad and funny.
That's sort of what it was called.
Yeah. Well, but I want to get back to that, like, because I feel a bit conflicted about just hearing it. Like, it sounds really great that it's an opportunity for people to create, and it's sort of like an equivalent to, say, you know, things they do for kids at science museums.
Yeah,
and like
it
that.
Is. It's that for adults.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's also timed to coincide with the release of this film that
yes.
is a commercial venture.
So it is sort of, yeah, it's almost like another, obviously, another level of marketing and sort
mm-hmm.
of a marketing thing that could do its own viral thing, obviously, mm-hmm. because with the popularity, it's like YouTube, but then everything's sort of set up in this space and it becomes very much more condensed and event-based, right, that people could kind of come together and, yeah, participate and then, look, go see that movie or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
But it's having something at, you know, a highbrow gallery like Deitch really the market that they need to really make a lot of money off this film. Every little bit helps, you know.
But
I'm just
going to
hand the mic over.
But I think it depends on who, I guess it depends on who sees it again, like that sense of, you know, Facebook, if the right kid from New Jersey or something tells 10 of his friends
yeah, and
or
then
her
they
friends,
put, you know,
and
yeah.
they put together something, and then they tell.
Well, are you allowed to?
From,
are you allowed
you know,
to keep
Westchester? Or whatever.
Are you? Do you get a copy of what you made too, or does it stay there? I don't know about that.
It said it becomes the property of the gallery.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It would seem right that you would get at least a copy of your own thing, but we didn't. Check that out. We didn't do any fact checking on
it. And that brings up the issue. Like, is it like it becomes property of the gallery? Are they going to share it under a Creative Commons license, or are they going to copyright it and use it in something else that you get no compensation for?
Now
or
I feel like we should have a phone-in show where like someone can call in
yeah.
and say, "I just made a movie."
anybody out there,
you can.
We
really
have cell phones, right?
I think we're going to set up like a Skype chat because we have some people in Oakland who apparently are listening.
Oh, really?
And they wanted to chat with us, and I haven't set it up yet, but if you're still listening out there, we're working on it.
It's going to happen.
It'll be on
happen.
Skype, probably.
Oh, my goodness. Now I was just thinking I could see your shout-out. It's my brother's birthday today.
That's right.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, shout-out to your brother.
Happy birthday, Steve Kirchmar, if you're listening. You're probably you're not.
He's
but maybe you can get the webcast for this later. So.
Yeah, we'll have an archive of this on our website.
Oh,
I don't know how soon we'll get to it. It's
uh-huh.
it's a bit... We're recording a lot of material, and it's very chaotic these
yeah.
days. But
there was also the other Deitch where it's that
Tim Webster and Sue Noble.
And
Tim Noble and Sue Webster.
They've done these projects in the past where they have these giant piles of trash or, you know, just detritus, and it just looks like a giant pile of trash, and then they'll have a bright light shining from one corner onto this pile of trash, and then on the wall will be this incredibly detailed shadow of something, you
uh-huh.
know, of like a person running or I don't, or what.
Usually it's often portraits of them, like one
yeah,
was like the
of
two
them.
Of them like kind of leaning again like back to back,
yeah.
so you see both
and
of their profiles.
I have no
that's
idea
beautiful.
how they managed to do it. It's just, there's no, doesn't seem to be any relationship between what you're seeing on the wall and the pile of trash. And it's not trickery, it's just, you know, I don't know, it just takes time. And I feel strange about saying this right now with this little child outside the window. Hi, child. But
they can't
okay.
hear us.
All right, they're gone now. But today it was the profile, the shadow was profile of each of their faces.
Yeah, are we thinking?
But it was
two silhouettes.
The light
right?
was shining on a
yeah.
giant pile of penises and
dildos
fingers.
And fingers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And Danielle kept trying to figure out which one was the nose. Put her finger next to this
next
penis.
To you,
nope,
not
that one.
Like
this
who's,
one?
Who's picking my nose? What is this?
Right.
It's all about insertion.
It was more pointy.
I don't know where this is going.
It was not about. It was about. articulating, I think.
It wasn't about inserting yourself into the piece.
Oh. Asserting myself.
Asserting yourself into the piece. Anyway, so what else are you going to see? Well, you're only here till this evening, right?
Yeah, not even very much longer. I think we're just going to look at the Whitney, the Biennial again.
Oh, you're going to go see the Biennial?
Yeah. Well,
we saw
Whitney it last
Biennial.
Night, but I don't know if that counted.
I still have seen, I've seen one floor.
Yeah.
And I haven't been over to the Armory yet either, and I feel embarrassed.
Is the Armory, it's in the Armory, or is it the Armory? It's not the one at the pier, because there's the Armory art show in the spring
here.
No, it's
at Park and 66th, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So that's the second part of the show.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the more...
Wait, second part of the Whitney is at the Armory?
The Whitney Biennial extends to the Park Armory.
We didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Street.
No one told us that.
I just did.
Okay. Attention.
Yeah, they've got a dance marathon, and some guy's making his own tequila, and they've got weaving, and
Wow.
He's making his own tequila.
Yeah, and giving it away.
Oh, really?
Although he might be out by now. I don't know. Apparently it was a very busy couple of nights these last two nights.
I bet.
So, anyway, so you can check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming by, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
From Boston.
Us.
I hope the radiator underneath the microphone is
insane amount of heat coming from
under
there.
No.
It's all you guys.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
just generating all this heat. We don't know what to do with it all. Well, again, Derek Brain and Danielle Kirchmar here on Neighborhood Public Radio. Thanks for listening.